in
Hold on.
About 9 months. That's the first thing. That's the first thing. Before we even introduce, we are in the same space.
In other words, one of us could have had a child.
You have a child?
No, man. Nine months.
We did the necessary precautions. We have a no mask, but we did the necessary.
We did the COVID
test. Yeah, we did all of that. But I'm Steph.
I'm Ramsey.
I'm not too.
One, two, and this is the Men's Truth Podcast, literally, physically.
Yeah.
And I am excited, my brothers, to see
the
brethren, not virtual.
Him beard actually look a little bit.
Actually lock up still.
That person.
So people, we're excited. A lot of things have changed. Not who said one of us probably could have a child that we don't know about. I don't know about that. I don't know about not knowing about a child. Me, I'm saved and sanctified. So I don't know what you're doing in these streets.
I'm celibate.
You're celibate. And who buying it?
I'll remain.
You plead with it. But I think it kind of ties into what we plan to talk about today. Essentially, looking at, is self-control possible for us as men? And it's against the backdrop of, you know, the power of the P, you know, was one of the most powerful things on this planet. Are we able, are we strong enough to deny these kind of things, you know, whether it's masturbation or the need to be, to have multiple partners or to buy something or to drugs. Drink something or drugs or compulsive buying, all of these things. Do you think self-control is impossible for men? Let's start with you, Natu.
I don't think it's impossible for men. But I feel like based on certain stages of our lives, we tend to prioritize certain things. So it may not be a sign of a lack of self-control. It could just be a sign of curiosity. You want to explore what it's like to have multiple partners, multiple sexual partners. You know, of course, while being safe, you want to, some men experience multiple relationships at the same time, and not that, not necessarily like in a polyamorous sense, but, you know, them being a girlist and all of that something. I think when you're older, I think that's when you can make the argument that it's an issue of self-control, because if you find that after having experienced all of that, you still can't stop yourself, or you find no need to restrain yourself, then I feel like that's where the self-control argument becomes necessary. But when you're young, not so much.
I feel like there's a parallel with self-control and addiction.
Hmm.
And I will say, yes, it's able for a man to control himself. But I will also say that it depends on what the guy values and what is his intention. For instance, and it also depends on the people he carries himself around, the people he hangs around.
Mm-hmm.
So let's probably use drugs. If you're in a setting as a young man, and we've all been in that setting growing up, because at different stages in our life, you know, mm-hmm. we spoke about this last week, at different stages in your life, you experience different things. And I feel like there are certain times and there are certain things that you have to experience as a man. So let's say probably in your early teens, adolescent, that early age, you get exposed to weed, cigarette, and all of that. The man, the masculine part of you, the part of you that strives on competition, wants to try it.
Mm-hmm.
Just to feel what it, to feel the buzz, feel the hype, the ego in you. But then after you get that high, what do you do after? I think that's where self-control and discipline comes in. Not, you see, there's also a parallel to say, how you look at it, is it bad? Is it good? Why do I want to do this? Why don't I want to do this? Mm-hmm. Again, I feel like it's how that individual looks at the world. Because there's some people who touch marijuana from the day they probably touch 12 and they have not stopped.
Uh-huh.
Where there are others, like myself, who have smoked it a couple of times and
there's no real
it does nothing for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
However, I can go at it and stop whenever I please.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? So I think it comes down to the decision process, the discipline within yourself, and what is it that you value, in a sense, how does this affect me?
Yeah. But do you think in your younger stages,
mm-hmm,
that self-control is something that is pitched to us as boys? And let me give you an example. So growing up, if you chose not to partake in drugs or sex or whatever, then probably look at you as soft.
Mm-hmm.
Or gay, yeah, or yeah, weak.
Yeah,
that, right. Mm-hmm. So like the concept of self is not necessarily promoted at a young age for a man.
Yeah,
it's about fitting in.
That's why I brought up the circle that you're in. Mm-hmm. Because if you're if you're a Christian, if you grew up in a Christian background,
mm,
you have no formal association with those type unless you are literally going out and doing things that are not Christian, like,
yeah,
or ungodly, as they would call it. However, if you're what they call it, worldly, and you are hidden and you're interacting with all these things at an early age, young men or young adults, young kids, yeah, want to start have sex because they're exposed to it. Yeah. So it all depends on what you're exposed to, and again, level of discipline.
In the example, because I think self-control, even if you're in the church, mm-hmm, that still doesn't, because you are still part of a community, there is this need, there is this, essentially someone else is still deciding for you.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you wanted to have sex, the community says,
right.
So there's always this, whatever pocket, whether it's your brethren, mm-hmm, then whether it's the church, there's always something that tells you
have a fit in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you're always putting aside. It's only when you get older.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when I just came to you, I mean, I used to drink alcohol before. And I'm in the Caribbean, mm-hmm, the drinking age is, mm-hmm, shit whenever you start drinking.
Right.
When I came to you, I made it my duty to not drink for my entire first year.
Mm-hmm.
And for the first couple of weeks, people thought it's strange. Like, how are you not? And every time they ask me, why you not drink? I said, because I don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's not that I wasn't drinking before. I just choose not to. People start accept it and respect it. But I think that was the very first time. That was the very first example where I made a decision that had nothing to do with fitting in or worrying about fitting in. Because half of the people were start born with and all of that kind of thing. It's just because
them people on the mud.
They haven't even figured out themselves. They haven't even figured out themselves yet.
All right. I like going at them something about multiple women.
Mm.
That was, we don't have no self-control with that shit.
But
even at an earlier age, I wasn't thinking about no one girl.
But
I don't know about you too, but for me that was like, yo, the nicest thing in the world.
Yeah,
you have three, four, five. And again, that was an ego building stage, which is a stage I think all men should.
But did you choose to?
Yes, of course it was a choice. But could I choose not to? Yes.
Okay.
So again, what I said. It comes down to how strong that individual person is.
But
and discipline.
I don't necessarily feel like it's a matter of strength, because when you mention the whole fitting in and the peer pressure thing and all of that, some things are communicated to us, are ingrained in us as a matter of a rite of passage.
Mm-hmm.
So when you view it in that lens, the issue of self-control is basically non-existent, because you know, this is something you are to go through. You are supposed to. We are socialized, as I believe, like as Caribbean men. You're supposed to have a bag of woman when
make
you're young.
Make sure you're a virgin by 16 in a bus.
They mean all of this stuff.
Yeah.
And so I feel like when you wait against those things, we aren't taught self-control until we reach a stage in our lives where somebody or a different group of people requires something completely different from us. And when we fail to conform to those groups, we are seen as uncontrollable, as lacking discipline.
Yo,
and that's it.
Especially when it comes to women, have accepted that men have no self-control. We did the episode on rape culture and the fact that we tell all women that don't dress a certain way because the man can't control himself. And even when the woman wants something, they will use sex as a weapon because in their minds, we cannot control ourselves. So it's like, because I think they don't teach it, but there's also they don't teach that there's a reward for it. Mm-hmm. Except in the gym. And even in the gym, like sometimes sometimes if I had a woman over and I said, yo, man, I do nothing tonight and I come here for guy gym in the morning, mm-hmm. I like, what that have to do with me? Like, yeah, are you saying then that the gym is more important than me? And it's really just a show of self-control saying you know, weak me out tonight because no one work out. That is, you understand me? So it's all, I feel like it's always weird when a man says, No. Wow. Hey. Imagine that. It is always weird when a man says no. Not just no to women, no to his friends. Mm-hmm. To say, yo, I'm not going out tonight. But me not going out tonight.
But to me, that's a sign of strength.
What? To say what? No?
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah.
But exactly.
I mean,
exactly. It's a sign of strength, but mm-hmm. unfortunately, it's not taught to us early. Mm-hmm. Like, only in your 20s, you probably realize it. No. And it's not no. To validate, because sometimes we say no and we still want to make the person feel good in the no. Mm-hmm. Like, no, it's not because whatever. Yeah, like, you try to make excuse for the no. Like, no. So yeah, like, you want to stay, like, you want to stay with the woman I'm bridging and call you and you can't say, like, you want to stay with your woman.
I remember going out. No, everybody laugh. Everybody, if you don't know me, yeah, Steph, you know me. And I always laugh off of me, like, going up when I decide to stop drinking strong liquor. Mm. I'd go out and my friend them would pour them Hennessy and them and Grey Goose or whatever on the rocks. And you know what I would drink? A strawberry daiquiri. Water. Them fruity drinks, brother. Yeah, and I mean, when you have man a look by you, like, what the hell you drink, brother? You drink a Heineken Light.
Yeah,
strawberry daiquiri.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, yes, yes. I drink a strawberry daiquiri.
So like my encounter with that was, I remember we after graduating high school, we had this trip. And you know, this was the trip where basically you became a man. So your teachers them, like, some of your teachers them are there with you and they're like, yo, like, this is where you guys let loose. And then when we tell you, say, let loose. And so I remember we were at this club and my friends were intent on getting me drunk. Because I told them I've never been drunk.
Yeah, yeah.
And they kept feeding me liquor.
Mm-hmm.
And for every liquor they gave me, they drank one. And one of them, like, call up. And we had to rush into the hospital.
Yeah, yeah.
And that man hasn't had a drink of liquor from that day.
Well, lucky for him.
And so I feel like the whole argument about self-control with men, it's sort of weighed against the consequences. Because if the consequences aren't as extreme, the argument of self-control isn't as far.
Yeah, yeah,
you know what I mean?
And unfortunately, it takes things like that for us to say, shit, we're not doing it again.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's too late. But I also feel like we respect each other a lot more when we stand firm in our choices.
Man,
because man baptized and we are going to ridicule that. But after a while, we start defending you because that's a man. That's a man who has decided that this is what he's going to do. And we are going to support you.
That's why every
single one of my brethren, when we get married or plan to get married, I say, listen, may I tell you from now. If you plan for getting married and you plan for do not, me are informed.
Because
you have said that you love this woman.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
don't let me buy into this and you not into it wholeheartedly. If you tell me you're not into it wholeheartedly, right? At least me can gauge. But if you said this is a decision you are going to make, I'm supporting you. If you decide to stay.
I'm holding him accountable.
Of course. You made the decision, right? Yeah. You made the decision devoid of anybody else. Right? But that's self-control as it relates to others. Let's talk about self-control as it relates to self. You know, there's this no-fapping movement or, the man will give up back in them fist for Lent and all that. Do you think you have the power over self to not do certain things? That's just an example.
Again,
it comes up. I have the power for that, to certain things.
I'd say I have that power too.
I mean, it's not easy. It's not easy, especially if, to say I go like all a month, two months, without like loving our little
self love. I call it. Yeah, I call it self love. It's self love. It's self love. It's self love.
Yeah. Oh God.
No man, but on a real, let me hear some story, man. I go for a whole year, and I say, yo, that is a.
But I think some people do it as spiritual. They find some. Spiritual.
No, but there's a whole lot of benefits in it. You know, because expelling sexual energy takes away from
the man.
Mm. Takes away from the man. Mm. Much more than it does the woman, because he's literally releasing part of himself.
Mm.
And it has a whole science behind how much it takes away from you, and when you focus or refocus that sexual energy onto other things.
But you know, as you mentioned that point, I'm inclined to ask this question. Is there a price to be paid for men engaging in promiscuity? Is there a price to be paid? And we're not just talking about the sexual, we possibly catch an STD or something, but do you perceive there to be any other consequences of simply just giving off yourself like that to multiple women?
No.
You don't think there are consequences?
No, and I'll tell you why. It comes down to an individual decision. If I feel like that's what makes me happier, I feel fulfilled by doing that, that's my prerogative.
Mm.
So if that's not something that's within you, and you genuinely feel some type of way when you do it within yourself, then that's an issue with you.
Yeah.
If I go out and I feel comfortable with talking to a million women, and I am not misleading these persons, because at the end of the day, if I'm communicating that this is who I am, and everybody is fine with that, then there's no issue. You see, my thing is there's always this black and white. People always feel like this is black and white. It's either this or that. And I don't think that's how it is.
Isn't there an emotional toll to
it? It depends on the person. I think that's a very personal question you're asking somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, that, and again, the man who does that can have emotional connections to many different women. And I don't think nothing is wrong with that also.
What do you think, though?
It's based on your foundation or how sex was taught to you, because from the religious or spiritual standpoint, you know, they tell you that sex is more than just the physical. And there's a concept of soul ties, and whether you believe it or not, it's
somebody's belief.
It's a
reality for somebody.
Right, it's a reality for somebody, and if you tie that spiritual side to sex, the more people you have sex with that you don't remain with, it's just more soul ties that don't necessarily lead to anything, right? So sometimes I consider or I wonder if that exists. Because I mean, you're going through the whole thing. You have a mood, and you don't even know where you get this mood out. And they say it's probably because these are the teachings, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's probably because somebody somewhere that you have a soul tie with the feeling, you know, these emotional ties.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other side, I feel like there can be a toll, especially on a man as he gets older, because
physically,
physically definitely, and the older you get, the more you just want somebody in your corner, right? And
but that's the beauty of choice.
Yeah. But
we're human beings. I can choose to do that for the first 30 years of my life, and within the last remaining years of my life, I choose to settle down with one person.
I think the argument is that's exactly the argument, that you choose to settle down. Which means it's no longer exciting to you, because you've experienced so much. There is this comedian who said, he wants to know the exact number of people to have sex with
But you just said it. We can use that same scenario now in our 30s or whatever. But when we were young, we would pursue a bunch of girls. Now I can look at a girl and know that I probably could do that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it for me. I don't even want to talk to her.
Mm.
If you understand my choice, so is the see. I could pursue her even knowing that. Yes, and so that's again in self.
So. But I'm wondering, like, you know, sometimes, because the self-control as well, I feel like it's important at this point, especially when we're talking about sex. A lot of what we just discussed was in relation to us, to mm-hmm. ourselves, but their self-control, you know, we take it back to the other person. Sometimes, some of these people, some of these women who, you know, we might share a sexual encounter with, or we might want a sexual encounter with, and it happens, they tend to have, or they can have different expectations of it, regardless of any prior discussion. And I know when you have the discussion, you sort of clearly draw your lines and say, all right, this is the accountability that you are supposed to take, and this is what I will take. But when you find yourself in those situations where somebody wants something more from you, right, and you're not able to give them that, but the sex is there, and they start becoming, you know, they find themselves in emotional turmoil. Do we take no accountability for that in those situations?
That I have nothing to do with me.
That's your decision.
Yeah. I don't have no. Especially if I'm honest and I'm open, I think, which is why we started the conversation looking at us for ourselves, because I know that in most instances we started ourselves and we default.
Why are men selfish? Mm-hmm. I don't know why I'm just going to segue this, but it's something that I've been thinking about. Why aren't men selfish?
Why aren't we?
Why aren't we selfish?
But we are. So, what was that?
I don't think we're selfish. We're self-centered, but we're not selfish. It's two different things. In terms of,
I think we, it's about time we start.
Our entire existence is based on what we can provide for others.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
That alone precludes this idea of a man being selfish. I'm not saying that there aren't men who are selfish, just that there are women who are selfish. But collectively and culturally, I don't think men are predominantly selfish. Self-centered, or self-serving, that's something else.
Yeah.
Because we use women for our own pleasurable purposes.
We, as men.
Men.
Ladies and gentlemen, I don't use Stefan.
No more. But we are reformed.
He's at that age.
But we need to understand that society places a lot of emphasis on us as men, which forces us to be self-serving and pursue our own self-interests. But at the same time, we are called on to provide. Right. So think about it. You are forced, and going back to the argument again on self-control, very little of ourselves are defined by us and controlled by us. It's always in relation to others. Look at how much we would sacrifice for each other's brethren or your friend, right? Look how much a man who is committed or in love with a wife or a woman would sacrifice for her, right? There is no real benefit for a man to be selfish. Boy, I wish men could be more selfish.
That's what I was thinking about it. I'm like, you know, I think it's about time we start requesting what we want. Everybody has request what they want of us, but we aren't. let me not go into this topic.
This is refreshing, but every
and I'm speaking women are telling you what they want. They want this, they want that, and we just give in a sense. I'm not saying selfish in a sense that we're not going to provide and be all of that. I'm just saying that we should be as picky.
I agree with you. I 100%, especially when it comes to being selfish with your time and your energy.
Exactly.
Because a lot of times those are the things we sacrifice to our detriment.
And I can give you, I'm glad you said that. My spouse loves quality time. Now, I could find myself giving her all my time and not doing nothing for myself.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Because I want to appease her. I want to make her happy. But at the end of the day, I'm not chasing really what's my purpose. Like, I'm just making somebody else happy because it feel good in the moment. But you're losing time. You're losing valuable time, and you're losing valuable productivity. So I switch that around. I'll give you a set time of your time, but at the end of the day, whatever I have to do that going to make me, which in turn will benefit you better, is going to take priority. And I think I think that more men should start putting themselves as priority first, in every situation. Because when you place yourself in a higher priority than your woman, she respect you more, and you can be able to a woman period. She'll respect you more. You'll respect yourself more. Your friends will. I feel like you'll just be a different person.
So wait, hold on a sec. The point. So you to realize Rimzy qualified his doing something for himself. So this is where I would like for us to reach. Taking things for ourselves or setting these time for ourselves without having to qualify why.
Yeah.
So it's like, I'm not doing this for because you. It's going to benefit you. That's not even a thought. You a rising tide, you know, floats all boats. But I'm doing this solely for me. You might benefit, and if you do good,
if you stick around,
and if you don't good,
but if you stick around, you have a benefit.
Do you realize
everything we do?
Do you realize how messed up that is?
Mm-hmm.
We get penalized for being self-serving. We also get penalized for focusing on self to the point where it is sold our package as being selfish. You said you are doing it for yourself. You have your own goals. Why should that offend anybody else?
I shouldn't.
Mm-hmm. Why should you try to make somebody else comfortable with the idea of you pursuing your own goals with the consequence that they might not benefit?
Yeah.
As a man, why should you say, I'm going to do this? And why should you have to go further than that? Of course, you know, you communicate. But why should you have to then say, but this is how you will benefit
from me.
Hey, we don't buy that. I don't buy that.
I really think I think the hardest part for me is when we say things like this, like reclaiming us for ourselves as men, not in relation to anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
It is offensive. I don't think I told you, but when we just started this podcast, I had a woman message me and say, why do we want to hear more about what men have to think? And to this day, all I sent was LOL.
Then you said that more.
Right? Because you're not, and that's the kind of sentiment, like a man shouldn't be thinking for himself or speaking for himself. Right? Because if we want to find out what you're thinking, we'll tell you what we want you to think. And if you don't think that, how dare you? How dare you not think what I want you what I want you to think? So shit, I think this is a timely, I mean all the episodes we do are timely, but this is us speaking for ourselves and working through some of our thoughts for us, not in relation
to anybody. To take a lot of work for the man that decides to reclaim all of that. Do you realize how difficult it will be to engage in your own pursuits,
reclaiming yourself from all of these spaces,
all of these things,
people realize the
work that it would take for a man to say, I'm going to put myself in a position where if me tell you, I'm going to go hang out with my friends. Like, most men follow that with, I'll be home by, I'll call you when I...
But that's just one example. The flip side is if you tell a brethren them, me I stay home for work on some business plan.
Yeah.
And then pray.
Yeah.
That's
right?
Their business.
But that's the thing. Like, there should be no validation.
Right.
Like, so that's what I'm saying. You have to reclaim yourself from all of these spaces that are pulling and tugging you.
Mm-hmm.
And put yourself back together. Some people aren't going to like it, but at the end of the day, it doesn't matter.
Drugs is not my thing. But then me see how do your thing, fine. Me know that.
Fine.
Mm. Nothing is wrong with saying
nothing.
No.
Listen. Mm.
Nothing is wrong with saying no
in every single way, taking your space. You had a brethren recently who say me might delete WhatsApp for some time. And me respect that. But I think about the time when I did that and people think some I go crazy. Like how dare you want space to think for yourself? Like how dare you not be in constant contact with us? You know, like that, like it just doesn't make sense.
But you know, the flip side to that as well is because I've had those moments. But how I find power and strength in those moments is to still be in that space, but to not feel obligated to give you any attention.
Yeah.
So you can see me online.
Yeah.
You can send me a message. You can send me a voice note.
Yeah.
I will listen to that,
yeah,
and I will not respond until I'm very well ready to.
So
when people get offended by that, I'm like, yo.
I feel like a backbone as a man, and I feel like as men we need to reclaim that or grow back.
Yeah,
man,
I love that.
I know the funny thing about that. I see this quote going around with them. I say, where they say, you know, a man who cannot be controlled to a sex. By sex is a man that intimidates woman because she knows she will have to bring more than her vagina or than sex to the table. And so women are also pushing this because I guess perhaps some of them are tired of it now. Like, all right, then, you know, them can use the P1 and get anything. Then just wave the P1 one time and the wish come true and all of them something. And so I feel like they now are seeing it and say, yo, like, we can't have a man that's that fickle.
As men, we need to stop telling women them like that the P is as powerful as I think it is. Because sometimes we pander a whole heap.
It's not.
It's not. It's really. Ladies, we say no. It's powerful,
look,
but
look at
the
camera and tell
them that. Not as powerful as you think. Not as powerful as you think. That's our little
secret.
It's
no shade.
Yeah, it's
we're not qualified, don't validate. True.
It's not just. So don't wrap it up for Valentine's Day and think it's a gift. It's just a gift.
What you doing, man?
Hey. Careful, yeah. Men, we do, in the final analysis, we do have self-control, and
it just takes some time to get there.
Selective self-control.
We have self-control. It takes some time to get there. I think it takes some time for us to admit it.
And as long as at the end of the day, you can hold yourself accountable for the decisions you made,
right.
And you can learn from them and know that, listen, I had to do this, and
I had to do it for me.
And after doing it for me, I realized that there's no reward in it. Or I realized that there's some reward in
it. But it's still my mistake. So I did this decision for me, and I own my mistake as well.
So, men.
So if I want to have 6 women, let me have 6 women.
If you want to have 1 woman, let me do it.
One man.
Your decision, reclaim it. I like what you say, Rimzy. Growing a spine. I think that's what we're gonna call this episode.
Yeah.
Growing a spine as a man.
Yeah.
I love that. Growing a spine.
Yes,
reclaiming your spine. Reshaping your spine.
Straightening your spine.
I love that. For all the spineless people out there who want to grow, this is a safe space. We know the pressures. We've all been through the pressures. Right? And there are still some pressures we're still working with.
Mm-hmm.
We're still working through at this point. Again, this is men's truth. This is our truth. It's the truth. Will offend, might offend, but you can sort out that.
Among yourselves.
Talk among yourselves. You want to hear the feedback. But, gentlemen, it is great.
Good to see you all, bruv. Doing a
great
fear.
Another legendary
space.
Episode.
Yes. I'm Steph.
Yo,
I'm Rimzy.
I'm Natu.
This is the Men's Truth podcast.
We don't need to get there at this time.
Yeah.